Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined, as always, on Thursday morning by Jacob Sanderson. We go game by game and break down every game in the main NFL DFS slate on Sunday. We got a big 13-gamer here, no teams on bye, just amazing scheduling from the NFL, just genius-level work from them. And somehow, despite having 13 games, we do not have a total over 47.5. It is what it is, man. That's just what football is.
It is what it is.
What can you do? All right, well, let's go ahead and get into it. Maybe a decent game to begin with here. We have the Houston Texans traveling to play against the Carolina Panthers. The Houston Texans deservedly road favorites. There actually are some plays in this game. I think Stroud is pretty viable, stacking him with Nico and Tank and Dalton Schultz. Of course, we have, the greatest wide receiver in the history of fantasy football, Adam Thielen, is 6,600. Sounds like Miles Sanders is, you know, probably going to be back. I don't think I would play him. I was kind of hoping he would still be out.
I was hoping he would be out, you know, like, not anything in his personal well-being, but like for the season, really. And they've talked about the committee. It's a committee.
Yeah, it's just a straight up committee. I think the best thing that this game has going for it is that the high end quarterbacks they're not easy to play, but there's enough value plays and they all have cheaper stacking options. Mahomes, Hurts, Lamar, and Tua, that a CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Adam Thielen team. I would guess that if you pop that into your sim runner of choice, it actually would be a positive EV lineup if you really focused on those combos. I will probably do a Stroud Tank Thielen on one of my like $50 single entry teams, I think.
Yeah, I think that is pretty reasonable. And I mean, Nico and Dell like have shown very legit ceiling this year, to the extent that I'd almost just want to play one of them every week that you can get them at sub 10 or around 10 or really anything in that neighborhood. Like those are guys where like they're pretty perfect DFS plays. Like the floor has not been very high, but they've both flashed like a 30-point ceiling this year. So at 4,900, 5,500, I think they're in play every single week.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and move to the next game. Actually, an interesting game that you kind of are going to have to take some stance on, the Rams at the Cowboys. The Rams obviously have two of the five highest projected wide receivers of the entire slate. My guess is, especially if Tyreek does not play, he is a legit questionable. It sounds like Cooper Kupp is going to be very popular, even with a 19-point team total. I do wonder if the weekly move, though, can't even believe I'm saying this, is just to almost never play Cooper Kupp and almost always play Nacua. If Nacua is going to come at within 2 points of projection, but 50% less owned than Cooper Kupp weekly, just kind of feel like their target volume since Cooper Kupp has returned has been almost equal.
Yeah, I mean, Kupp had clearly the better role end game 2 out of 3 weeks. You know, definitely not this week. But both have been really strong roles. I think both are totally in play. This is a total vibes based take, but don't you feel like this is one of those games where it's like you're going to look up at 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're going to feel like it's been kind of a fun shootout, but actually the score is 14-10. Like, that just seems like how it's going to work with these offenses, where like the Rams every week to me feel like they're playing better offense than they actually are. Like, I continue to have faith in their offense,
but they punt a lot.
17 points.
They punt a lot.
Yeah. I think that Kupp and Nacua are totally in play. I think that Dallas wise, like, you know, Pollard's going to keep projecting well, and Lamb is fine. I just continue to have systemic concerns with the McCarthy effect of this offense for sure. They're just not operating at a level. I hope that they look back on that Monday night game, not as we figured everything out and we're fine now, but as we got away with one and we've got to make some changes. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Spoiler alert there. don't imagine a lot of great self-scouting. What I will say is that all the concerns we have about Tony Pollard, you know, whatever, losing the explosiveness, can't find the box, you know, basically the least efficient red zone offense in the entire NFL. $7,500 after watching, you know, Amari DiMercato and Damian Williams and Keontae Ingram get whatever they want on the ground against this defense 2 weeks ago, my level of wanting to play Tony Pollard is pretty high. Now, he is going to be at like stone chalk. He is one of the better points per dollar plays of the entire slate at 7,500. He has one of the highest raw projections of the entire slate, trailing only Tony Pollard, maybe Alvin Kamara, depending on which projections you're looking at. I probably am going to, Charlie Brown football, Tony Pollard at 7,500 here.
100%.
What about Henderson? Are you interested in Henderson here?
Not really. I think he's a fine play. From what I was watching, it mostly looked like him and Royce Freeman were splitting drives, and Henderson was getting the first one, Freeman second, et cetera, et cetera. Henderson's drives seemed to have a little bit more success, so he wound up getting a little bit higher of a snap lead than I think was like due to happen. Just based on that and how they were using them, I think that means probably a little bit more of the ownership and the projection falls on Henderson than Freeman, when I think that really realistically it's kind of a coin flip as to who scores more, unless they look at it and they say, like, we just needed to ramp up Henderson, but he's actually our guy. We're now going to go 2 drives to 1.
I think that's more possible than the other way. Than, you know, like, I think Freeman becoming the Kyren Williams is zero. I think Henderson becoming the Kyren is possible. I also, this is maybe more of like a seasonal take than a DFS take, but I do think Evans will play at some point. I just, like, they're, you know, Henderson was ripping off all these runs last week. I don't know if they're going to find those lanes this week. And I could see McVay just getting frustrated and being like, all right, whatever. I also don't think it is impossible that Evans might be a healthy scratch and they might call up Gaskin from the practice squad this week, which would really throw a wrench in wanting to play any of these guys.
Yeah, I think they asked him, and McVay is usually honestly pretty reliable with Coach Speak when he gives you a straight answer. There's like this Twitter account, Coach Speak Index.
Very good Twitter account. This. Yeah, very good Twitter account.
And they asked McVay, they're like, what's going to be the plan next week? He said, it's going to look mostly the same between Henderson and Royce Freeman. And we'll see if we can get Gaskin and Evans involved, which, like, that to me sounds like we're not fucking getting Gaskin and Evans involved if we're going to see if we can get them involved. It's always funny to me when coaches say, like, we'll see, as though, like, oh, I got to check that out. It's like, actually, you're the one that makes that decision. So if you need to see, I think we've seen. It's. I don't really know. Like, Stafford doesn't seem to have much of a ceiling, I guess, this year. So I guess it's probably just Cooper, Puka, pick one, probably not both. And then if you want to stack Dallas, you can stack Dallas. I don't think I have the heart for it. I just want to see one game of them.
I don't have the
operating
heart for it,
like, the offense that their personnel says they should be, and not like Mike McCarthy is ruining them to be. So I'll probably just pick one of Tony or CD and play that one.
I think they all have really good median projections, but this team is just so unlikely to score 40 points in a game and just go totally nuclear the way they're
want to.
Yeah, they don't want to. All right, next game, the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. Packers are dead to me. I'm not playing any of them. I mean, I was watching Jordan Love in that Broncos game against that junior varsity defense. And look, you know, there are people on Twitter defending him. His teammates, the backup quarterback, Ben Kirk, did. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Aaron Jones, it's like he's still limited by this hamstring thing. AJ Dillon actually had a couple plays where he looked like the guy we thought he was last week, enough that I don't think the coaching staff is going to shelve him. They are splitting their snaps between Dobbs, Watson, Wicks, and Jaden Reed in such a way that is just none of them are getting enough routes. Luke Musgrave has a concussion. You know, Tucker Kraft did play 15 of the 17 snaps, but like even if he played every single snap, what is that even worth?
I mean, Musgrave hasn't even been worth all that much.
Yeah. No, it's all Sklansky bucks. All the Musgrave stuff is all Sklansky's. It has not translated into real production. Not even because, and I didn't think Musgrave was that good of a prospect, but the whole offense is just limiting the output that any of these guys can have.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of trying to chase it with the Packers. We'll see. I assume that Christian Watson is going to have a ceiling game at some point this year just because of the route tree that he runs. It's going to be very difficult to predict, and it's probably not going to be off his injury. This team is so conservative with injury stuff too. So he's probably out. And yeah, I can't keep going back to the Aaron Jones well until we get a full practice or until we see him get a full snap share. So probably no Packers for me. Vikings wise, like Addison's got to get like one of those, whatever his projected ownership is, add 3% from the Monday night bump, right?
My guess is he will be the most owned wide receiver of the entire slate, I think, at 5,700. So as of right now, I see him projected for less ownership than Zay Flowers. I will just say no chance. No chance that happens.
Yeah, and then Hockenson feels like one of those. Like, I think we kind of can know the Hawk games pretty well at this point because it's so clear what he is, right? Like, he's just going to run a bunch of stick routes and, like, accumulate points as they move down the field. So it's like whenever they're in a game where they kind of have to be back and forth and playing, you know, really to win the game all the way throughout, Hockenson has that opportunity to get there on volume. That's probably not this week. Like, the Packers are just a very sad team. So I feel like Hockenson's going to be fine.
Kelsey and Andrews are on the slate. Like, I'm just not FPSing that stuff. Like, if I'm spending on a tight end, I'm playing one of those two guys.
Right. So this to me, you know, you never know range of outcomes, et cetera. But if we're just playing, like, what week do I want to play TJ Hockenson? And I never really want to play TJ Hockenson because I find his style of play personally offensive to my viewing experience. It's just, this feels like the week that it's like, they don't throw enough, so his role becomes 7 targets for 5 catches and 42 yards, and you would have rather put the other guys. So I think I'm full zeroing this game most likely, other than some Addison, but if he's going to be as owned as you think, then he's probably a pretty bad play.
I mean, he's the number one points per dollar play in most projection systems, even ahead of Zay Flowers, and I think that will. And I don't even think he's bad. I think, honestly, I think
fine.
That seems fine.
It's just like, I never really want to play like super highly owned mid-price wide receivers process wise, but he projects great and he should.
But he should be like 7,000. I mean, not only is he really handling, like, I expected, honestly, I thought the Vikings offense was just going to be shit without Justin Jefferson. I thought they would just struggle to do anything. And Addison is like good enough, which is crazy that. They won 2 games without Justin Jefferson. It's like completely insane. But I didn't really love Jordan Addison as a prospect. Too small, right? Too small. And we learned it is short, slight king summer. The New Orleans Saints against the Indianapolis Colts. I am not in on Carr. I think Carr, no. Shahid, Olave, these guys are gonna be pretty popular.
Is anyone on earth in on Carr?
Yeah, people are gonna play him this week, and I think people will play Minshew a little bit too. I mean, look, it's the dome game,
yeah.
And Downs is the number one points per dollar play of the entire slate, and right. I got no issue with that. I think you can play a 27% owned naked Downs. Like, the dude is just good. I mean, he just is a really good football player.
Yeah, Josh Downs rocks. I think you can do that. It's fine. He projects great. In general, I would rather play that type of play correlated, and I don't know how I'm going to correlate it with this game because I don't really want to play the same
side. Or Kamara.
Like, yeah, that's a possibility. The Kamara thing is interesting. Like, so if this role is just like what his role is all season, then 7,300 is an egregious price, right? Like, he has like an $8,500 role so far this year. He might have a 9K role this year. I have like some lingering concerns about him in that I'm still not sure that he's demonstrated that he's good yet this year. Like, he's just been kind of accumulating a lot of checkdowns.
No, he's got no juice. None. Negative.
His coming back to the lineup has perfectly coincided with Derek Carr's shoulder injury. So I think that's part of why he's even more willing than he usually is to just check it down. And then we haven't seen him produce efficiently at all as a runner. He got stuffed 3 times in a row in a goal line series. He's missed a few pretty critical pass blocking assignments. And then it comes out after the game, Jamal Williams on a snap count and Kendre Miller had a shoulder issue. I am curious if like people are putting the cart before the horse a little bit, looking at that box score and that role with everybody active and just saying like, this is a role for the rest of the year. You know, I'm sure he's still going to catch a lot of passes and play a lot, but I'm not totally sold that we're getting like absolute vintage bell cow workhorse Kamara for the rest of the year, where, you know, if he's going to be like 25% owned or something this week, I would need to have a lot of confidence in that. So I'm probably going to go in Martingale to Chris Olave off the argument with the quarterback and the driving infraction down at $6,400 instead. And I'll play him with Downs. I'm not stacking Carr. Like, Carr is fine. I'm sure he projects well. I don't care. He has like no ceiling.
Yeah. And I mean, we should mention Jonathan Taylor, like, finally yes. was like the lead guy last week, and he's an $8,000 player. So I think playing him totally uncorrelated, just mixing him in is good.
Still in a 50-50 snap share, but he got 22 touches on like 35 snaps. So they were forcing the ball into his hands. And he looked way better this week than he did the previous 2 weeks. I think I would bet that his snap share is like 60 to 65% range this week, and he'll get a lot of touches when he's out there.
With Minshew on the field, the Colts are the fastest plays per second offense in the NFL. Minshew has the most dropbacks per game in the NFL. Like, they're just upping the volume significantly. So I think JT, probably top five running back play this week or close to it. All right, next game, the New England Patriots traveling to play against the Miami Dolphins. Tyreek, legit questionable. Raheem Mostert did not practice on Wednesday. Now, that might just be old guy rest. Jeff Wilson Jr. played, I think, 7 snaps in that Sunday night game and his return from the designated for return IR. Let's say Tyreek doesn't play. How much Waddle are you interested in? And are you interested in minimum salary Cedric Wilson or Braxton Berrios?
I think if you're doing any Dolphins cheap receiver, I think it's Wilson. Generally, when Waddle or Hill has come out, I think that's been the guy who's, well, early in the season it was Craycraft, but then more recently it was Wilson who's come in for one of those outside guys. And Berrios is a little bit more confined to the slot role. So I think if you're playing a Miami receiver that's not Waddle, I think Wilson would be my first choice. It's an interesting spot. I mean, I've been Martingaling Jalen Waddle this entire freaking season. He's been bad this whole season.
And now he's going to be 37% owned.
Yeah, and he's still quite expensive at $7,500. So I don't think you're getting like a crazy discount. Do you think that the Bill Belichick takes away your best player thing, like, is still a thing, or is that just over?
No, dude doesn't have his fastball anymore. I mean, and honestly, if it was a battle of minds between Bill Belichick trying to eliminate, you know, whether it be Tyreek or whether it be Waddle, and Mike McDaniel scheming that guy open, like, I'm going to bet on Mike McDaniel. I don't really care that they lost to the Eagles, you know, like, shit happens.
Right. Okay. So I think the Waddle, yeah, without Hill, he just projects a silly play because we've never seen Waddle without Hill with McDaniel. But my assumption of how that would go is just that they're going to put him in all of these goofy formations and constantly put him in motion. And just the entire playbook is going to be built around scheming him the ball. And he's going to have a 40% target share. We'll see if that's what happens. Maybe not. You know, maybe I just don't really understand offense and Waddle's a more limited player than I think he is, and that's just not possible. But that's how I foresee this going. So I will certainly play Waddle even into ownership because I think that his ceiling is like absolutely nuclear. Oh my God, did I just do the George Bush thing? Nuclear. Yeah. I just George Bushed it. Nuclear ceiling. And I don't know, dare I say we have a Patriot we can do a bring back with now?
Yeah, DeMario Douglas.
Oh, that's not even who I was thinking, but also him. Yeah.
I mean, the DeMario Douglas thing is that everyone, like, tangentially related to the Patriots has been talking about this guy since he got drafted. And the games he's played week one and this last week, he's, like, gotten open at will. I saw a stat that he's got 2.6 average yards of separation at the catch point. I am not a Kendrick Bourne guy. You know, when Kendrick Bourne beats me, I merely tip my hat to the Kendrick Bourne players. I think you could do something real freaky. Like, you could do Tua, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Waddle, Cedric Wilson, and, like, play that team with, like, Travis Kelce and Jonathan Taylor or something. I kind of like those configurations.
Yeah, I think that totally works. DeMario Douglas, I won't say he's first team, but I'm going to give him second team, all moves different. That guy, he bounces around in space. He's neat. I like him. He's a legitimately interesting player. Okay, that's interesting, because I thought Bourne is, like, the clear bring back guy, but if he gets a lot of ownership, I guess, you know, do you ever want to find yourself catching?
I mean, he, like,
Kendrick,
like,
Bourne into ownership.
Kendrick Bourne smashed 2 weeks in a row. Like, it just guys who smashed 2 weeks in a row and only see their price go up to 4,700, and people are like, oh, the Patriots are just going to throw 400. Like, it is just $4,700 Kendrick Bourne, not really for me. DeMario Douglas is 3.3. That's just a much easier play to make.
Dare I say, Ramondre Stevenson has looked pretty decent the last couple of weeks. And he's been splitting his drives with Zeke while games in neutral script. I don't foresee this game spending a lot of time in neutral script. So if wants to get into comeback mode, it's been Ramondre. He was excellent in the passing game this week. He, like, really was responsible for a lot of their final winning drive against Buffalo. He'll have no ownership on him, I don't imagine. And I think he's semi-interesting. So I'll play a lot of Waddle, and I'll play a lot of Tua, and I don't know, I'll figure out who else to put in there. Mostert at 7,700 is tough. That's a tough click.
I can see Mostert being looking good in the Sims, just because the Dolphins do have the highest team total of the slate at 28 points. And he has a huge share of their touchdown equity. So I can definitely see it. I don't know if I can click it, because this is such a great running back week, but I do see it.
I see how he gets there. I just, like, at, like, a human level, I don't think that my finger can hover over a Raheem Mostert button at $7,700 and feel good about clicking it. So it'll probably be just two of Waddle. Honestly, maybe just solo. Maybe I add in a little Cedric Wilson situation. I'll probably play 50% DeMario, 50% Ramondre in the comebacks, maybe something like that.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, what do we got next? Oh, a game with one play. The New York Jets versus the New York Giants. Breece Hall, phenomenally good play here. Jalen Hyatt, 3,100. I mean, he's king air yards right now. 2 for 75 last week was a fingertip away from, like, 3 for 131. You know, that's all I got. Like, Wandale is now priced up in a range that I don't love him at like 3,700.
Yeah, and his routes came down.
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, I mean, I'm not going to read too much in that for a 1 week thing. But Hyatt is the better DFS play right now. And I'm not playing Waller. I'm not playing, like, Garrett Wilson. Sure, whatever. I'm never going to say he's a bad play. Like, the route volume and the target volume is really high. But Breece, Breece might be my guy in every lineup this week. I think he could just go super nuke.
What ownership on Breece is too much ownership on Breece for him to be a good play?
There just are so many guys in his range that are, like, Mixon, good points per dollar. Pacheco, good points per dollar. We have Jonathan Taylor. We got DeAndre Swift. We got Bijan Robinson. Like, I just don't – I think I would be so surprised to see him get higher than 25%.
Man, 5,900. Yeah, if he's 25%, then I would play him in literally every lineup. I do have some concerns that, like, in small field stuff, we could see, like, 40-50% Breece Hall. And at that point in time, like, I still think he's an awesome play in a vacuum, but he's, like, basically the same salary as Garrett Wilson. And, like, Garrett Wilson has a talent-based ceiling and probably outscores him 35% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right.
So, you know, if the ownership is like 10 to 1, Hall to Wilson, like Wilson just has to be the better play. But I definitely want to play Hall almost regardless. Like, I don't think that there's any ownership that would make me zero him, because I think he has such an epic ceiling and a really strong floor. But yeah, if it, I would pray for like 25, where he's, even if he's the most owned running back, he's not the most by a mile. Yeah. And if it looks like we're going to get that on Saturday, then I don't care. I'm lock buttoning him and I'll get unique elsewhere.
All right. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not feeling the need to get fancy with stacks in this game, but I do think Pickens, Deontay, Ridley, Kirk all seem, and I mean ETN every single week just like gets a billion points, and I don't think he'll be clicked at all this week, which I guess is sort of interesting. And projections don't even seem that bullish on him, which also feels weird because he just gets a billion every week. So Maybe I just talked myself into ETN. Ridley would be the galaxy brain play. Liam has pointed out to me that Ridley's fantasy points per game when Zay Jones is active is like, yes, way higher. I don't have a
Ron Stewart has been posting stuff about that too. I think this is like one of those just bizarro, like, correlation does not equal causation things.
Correct. I would agree. Yeah. I mean, he's shown the ceiling. He's had two mega Newt games. So I'm not going to say he's a, like, I would play him over T. Higgins because I hate T. Higgins. But, and I don't love buying like the top on Christian Kirk salary wise either, because I've ridden this ride with Christian Kirk a bunch of times. But they're both fine. The four guys I mentioned all seem fine. And ETN kind of seems like a gold star leverage play. But this is just going to be a bad game, I think Trevor Lawrence probably has a tough time here against the Steelers defense, and the Steelers are just always like, just everything is a slog. Everything is so hard for them.
Yeah, I think that the Jacksonville team is in a little bit of trouble this week offensively. I haven't read the Brandon Thorne offensive line, defensive line mismatches yet, but I would be surprised if this isn't one of them. The Jacksonville offensive line has not been very strong this year. Pass block, pass protecting, and especially run blocking. And I think that they're going to have issues with the Steelers front. We saw that the Rams just did. We'll see. I still would like pick the Jaguars in this game, but I definitely don't foresee them being able to move the ball as easily as they would want to. Probably the guy I'm most interested in playing is Ridley. And I'm not going to do this like whole Zay Jones thing. I'm also like, people have been trying to interpret the coverage stuff. Like, I've seen someone be like, Ridley against cover one plays well, and the Steelers play a lot of cover one, but then other people are like, Kirk plays best against man and Steelers play a lot of man. It's like, I think people are like reading into this stuff a little too much. To me, it's as simple as their weighted opportunity rating is basically identical for the season. Ridley has the lower target share and the higher A dot, Kirk higher target share, lower A dot. And so they're going to probably project to be pretty similar for the rest of the season. Kirk's going to have the narrower band. Ridley's going to have the ceiling games. He's going to have more goose egg type games. And so in DFS, like, when people are out on Ridley and they think he's clear second fiddle because he's had a couple of those goose egg games, I'm going to play him. I'm not going to worry about the matchup. So I'll play Calvin Ridley this week. Absolutely. We'll see if I get to any of the other guys. I'm not going to force it. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to have, I think both the Steelers wide receivers are pretty good plays. Like, they really consolidated targets in the first game back. And if I'm wrong, and if Jacksonville does get the play from ahead, Steelers are one of those teams where if they're playing from ahead, they will establish the run and screw up the entire game. But if they play from behind, they'll totally capitulate and they'll pass the ball. So I think that there's definitely a 10 plus target ceiling on both Pickens and Deontay.
Yeah, and people are going to play Kenny Pickett a little bit too, because he's so cheap. Although Sam Darnold being 4,300 might get some people playing.
Maybe.
I guess we'll see.
Oh, I'm so excited to play Sam Darnold.
I think people are going to play Sam Darnold in cash, which is just it's a crazy world out there. All right, Atlanta, Tennessee, lowest total game of the slate. Titans, no. Zero playable players.
No.
Bijan Robinson is $6,000. I mean, I don't know. I right now, I mean, everyone who does a fantasy football podcast is going to be like, oh, $6,000, you know, don't know if we can play him in cash, but really good for tournaments, like, which exactly sums up my thoughts. I think he's probably the highest ceiling player who's below $7,000 on DraftKings.com this week. Well, yeah, Breece Hall. Okay. Same. Honestly, very similar plays, though, right? Like, not 100% of the snaps, not 100% of the third downs, not 100% of the carries, not 100% of the red zone work, but just like so fucking good that you want to play him. And I mean, I don't give a shit about Tennessee's vaunted run defense. Like, they're done. They've given up. They're starting to trade players away. They're taking calls on Henry. Will fucking Levis is starting at quarterback. Like, it is right. over for the Tennessee Titans. So I do not care.
Yeah, and at least the Titans sometimes can be a fun matchup for certain teams because of that pass funnel aspect, and so you get to play the passing game. But the Falcons don't care about a pass funnel defense. They're still going to establish it. So I'll play Bijan just so that salary is really interesting for his ceiling case, but that's probably the only player on either side of this game I will play.
Yeah. Yeah, I got, well, the Falcons defense. Yeah, good play. Oh, Falcons defense, good play. okay, the Philadelphia Eagles against the Washington Commanders. Devonta, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, DeAndre Swift, Dallas Goedert. The only thing I have to say about the Eagles is that I will continue to chase the Sklanskys with Devonta Smith. I will probably
Me too.
I've been playing about five teams a week between the various spies and red zones. And right now I've got two earmarked for Lamar, one earmarked for Hurts, and then undecided on the other two. I will probably just be a coward and play AJ Brown with Jalen Hurts, but I will be thinking long and hard about doing Devonta Smith with a Terry McLaurin bring back on this one.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And then I will also... I play DeAndre Swift every week, and every week I feel great about it. And every week I watch the game and I feel great about it. And then I look up and he has only like 15 points. So I think one of these weeks he's going to hit the end zone twice. We're going to see the 25-point eruption. Maybe it's this week. I definitely will keep playing Devonta Smith. He's just too talented to continue to run cold. And on the Commander side, what odds would you say this is the last we see of Sam Howell?
You know, there was a report this morning that the Browns are interested in reacquiring the services of Jacoby Brissett. And if they
don't think they're going to get him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing with Howell is just like the sacks have gotten too out of control to ignore from a team that is like loosely kind of in the playoff race. You know, not that the Commanders are like in it, but they are not out of it. They are 3-4.
But they have to be in it for Rivera. Like if they're out of it, he's out of it. So.
I mean, I guess technically right now, the only team that they are trailing is for wild card stuff is the Seahawks. And the Cowboys as well. But they are right in the middle of the wild card stuff. And they took the Eagles to overtime the last time they played them. But yeah, there's definitely a chance this is the last we see of Howell.
It's honestly surprising that he hasn't gotten hurt yet. He's just getting obliterated out there. I think that at some point, like they have to start looking at like, can we continue to lose 50 yards every week from sacks? You know, so I think that that's some risk, which means I would not play him, but I don't think it really matters for the weapons if Howell leaves half of the game. So I think you can play McLaurin. We got a little bit of signs of life last week from Dotson, but not enough. It's probably just McLaurin, I guess Curtis Samuel. I don't know. Probably just McLaurin. And I think every single one of the core five Eagles is totally in play as always.
Yeah, I think that is right. All right. The Cleveland Browns against the Seattle Seahawks. I think you got two questions to answer here. One, does the strength of the Cleveland defense scare you off of playing Kenneth Walker, who has like, I know he didn't get there last week. Well, he kind of got there. He had 100 yards. He just didn't. He just, you know, the Seahawks have like the worst second half offense in football. It's like they cannot score in the second half. I don't get it. And then do we think if Metcalf plays that JSN is like a real boy now, or do they put him back into a tertiary role with Metcalf returning?
My take is yes, and I shouldn't even say my take because I'm basically just adopting this take from Stealing Signals. But the take is yes. Like, Jake Bobo played, I think it was like 86% of routes or something. All of them were coming on the outside, and he earned a decent chunk of targets. He had 6 targets in a low pass volume game from Geno Smith, scored a touchdown. And that's not to say, like, oh, you know, Jake Bobo is ahead of JSN or whatever. It's just the idea is they had 3 receivers this week up over 80% route rate, which is the second straight week they've had 3 receivers over 80% route rate. It's also 2 weeks in a row that they've had Charles Cross back. And so I think we've seen them morph back into what they were originally hoping to be when they drafted JSN, which is a heavier 11 personnel team. And this big JSN game all occurred while there was a wide receiver playing a lot and playing really well on the boundary in Jake Bobo. So I think if you sub Metcalf back into that Bobo role, you know, how different is he going to be than what we just got out of Bobo last week? Like, would I expect it to be very different than Bobo going forward? Yes. But last week, Bobo was great. And if Metcalf replicates that, JSN can still have his game alongside it. Tyler Lockett's been limited. He's been working with the hamstring injury. He's a guy who famously is like a guy who plays when he's limited, but doesn't play well when he's limited. And so I think he's probably continues to be in a void, and it really just goes to help Jackson Smith and Jigba when he's out there. So I'll probably play JSN a little bit. I might play Walker. I think he's a fine play. There's just a lot of good running back plays in the slate, and he's probably not in the top 5 that I would get to, but I think he's certainly in the mix. And yeah, I don't think with PJ Walker, you can really play any of the Browns. If you want to take the shot on Pierre Strong, he saw more touches, more snaps than Kareem Hunt after Jerome Ford went down.
I think that was because Hunt came in legit questionable. I think Pierre Strong stinks. I think we could see like an alpha volume game here from Kareem Hunt, actually.
That's possible too.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not play Strong. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. Like, Pierre Strong could have like 9 catches or whatever in this game, but I do think their plan will be to see what Hunt can do in kind of a, I mean, I don't want to say Kyren Williams role, but like kind of the, like a 70% snap share, and we'll see what ends up happening there. That's my read. All right. The Baltimore Ravens against the Arizona Cardinals. Lamar, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews every week. I mean, I think Mahomes and Kelsey and Lamar and Andrews have the highest ceiling of any quarterback pass catcher tandem, even more than Tua and Tyreek, because Tua is kind of maxed out at like 32 points, but like Lamar can like run for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns and throw for 315 and 2. Like Lamar, I was looking at it this morning. He is 6th in the NFL in EPA per play. That's the highest mark of his career. Even the year that he won MVP, he was not that good. And Hollywood Brown, I mean, look, every single week he racks up the Sklansky yards. He's last 3 weeks, he's 2nd in the NFL in air, or 3rd in the NFL in air yards behind only Tyreek and AJ Brown. We got Michael Wilson. We got Trey McBride. Don't think I can do the DeMercado thing. I mean, I get it. I get where people are coming from, but I don't think I can do it. And not touching Ravens running backs.
Yeah, I'll do the DeMercado thing in the sense of if I have an injured running back room in seasonal, I'll fire him up as an RB2. But I think that that's a different than like playing him in DFS where you really want a ceiling. And I don't know what that ceiling is in this offense against this defense. I think that, yeah, you've got to play the Baltimore side. I bet this game last week and I just like have a lot of investment, emotional and financial in the Ravens generally. So I watched this game I have like my red zone screen and I pick one game each for the main screen. And I was like, Gardner Minshew's maybe too depressed. I'm going to watch the Ravens instead of the Colts this week. And it was, you could feel like you were watching something special from like the third play. It was Lamar was just putting on an absolute clinic. It was a total joy to watch. Hopefully they've turned the corner and that they don't go back to this kind of fits and starts offense that we saw for the first part of the year. So I'm torn between saying that maybe we shouldn't buy into this one massive spike week and assume that that's how it's going to be for all of their players moving forward, which makes it tough to maybe click Zay at the ownership I'm seeing for him. But I still want to play Lamar and Andrews. I definitely want to play. You know, I don't even know how owned he'll necessarily be this week. So I'll be all in on Lamar and Andrew Stacks, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, it's probably,
who would be your Arizona bring back if you had to pick? Is it just McBride? Or I guess not with Andrews.
Hollywood, right. I think, you got a little bit of a revenge game narrative there. You've got the unrealized air yards. Yeah. I think it's Hollywood. I mean, I don't think Michael Wilson is like the worst play of all time either. Like I think Michael Wilson would be fine. Go with God there, kind of what your lineup dictates. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos, 26.5-point team total for the Chiefs. Mahomes, Pacheco, Rice, Kelsey, that's it. We're done. We're done with Sky Moore. Kadarius Toney, I think we are perilously close to healthy scratch Kadarius Toney season. Yeah. Now that they have reacquired the services of Mecole Hardman, MVS, I mean, congrats to him. It's not, you know, congrats on your touchdown last week. Sky, Dust, Justin Ross, adios, dude. We'll never see you again. Arrested. I assume he'll be cut probably before Sunday. Rice is he's $5,000. I think the interesting thing about Rice is that because people keep playing him, his price keeps rising despite not having like full routes. But the Rashee Rice 6-catch, 119-yard, 2-touchdown game is like going to happen. And you want to be there before he's 6,800.
Totally agree. It's Mahomes and pick two of Pacheco, Kelsey, and Rice. And I don't think you need to do a bring back.
No. The Broncos are done. The Broncos are. I think they'd trade Jerry Jeudy for a third round pick right now. I think they'd trade Sutton for a fifth. They would. I mean, it is. Man, they stink. They are terrible. They are a terrible team.
Yeah, which says a lot about Green Bay that they won last week. It didn't. I understand Denver won last week, but I've had to remind myself of that three separate times because it didn't feel like they won.
No, it doesn't. But if you really wanted to go there, I think you could play Marvin Mims at 3,300. He did run the most routes or the third.
Yeah,
most
but now
routes.
He's not even good anymore.
I guess you know what? That's maybe the issue. Yeah. I guess he was just sun running.
Like, I'm not going to be like a reactionary guy that's like, now he sucks. Even though I just said that, but the whole thing with Marvin Mims was like, he's incredible and they're just not letting him play more. And like, they've let him play a little bit more and he hasn't done anything. So he's probably still interesting, but he was probably just running hot. It feels more and more like he's a 2024 play where they like make him a full-time player. They actually develop his role a little bit more. For now, it seems like almost regardless of how many snaps he's playing, he's just going to be a rotational deep threat type. So I don't think you have to play him. I'll say that Javonte's role was like good and he looked better, but I think that's like a thing to worry about some week when they aren't playing the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that is accurate. All right, what we got? One more. Jacksonville is an interesting game. The Cincinnati Bengals at the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, so game of the week.
Sam Darnold is going to start here. Joe Burrow's only 6,000. T. Higgins is 5,900. Joe Mixon is 5,800. No Debo Samuel for the 49ers. My read last week on Ray McLeod could not have been more wrong. I mean, he played. He just did not get targeted at all. We've got $9,200 McCaffrey, $7,000 Ayuk, $5,400 George Kittle. What are we doing with this game?
I definitely want to play Ayuk this week for sure. I think he looked like he was going to have an explosion game in the first half, and then they completely went away from him in the second half. I'm not sure what the cause of that was, but I just don't think that that's the best version of this offense is if they don't have Depo and they're starting to look away from Ayuk. All of the peripherals and stuff on him have been just stupendous. Like you look at the PFF grading, yards per route run, your open score, whatever else. Looks like one of the best wide receivers in the NFL this year. They've had massively reduced pass snaps as a team because they've had so many blowouts that I do want to buy into him in a game that should be back and forth and competitive where, you know, at 7K, based on his talent, I think that's like more than deserved with Debo out. So I'm going to play him a ton this week. And I want to stack him with Sam Darnold. I do believe in Sam Darnold in this offense can entirely succeed. So I will definitely be playing Sam Darnold lineups. And then I'm almost at the point where I've given up on George Kittle, which feels like the time when he would put up a 40 bomb. So I guess I probably have to play at least one George Kittle lineup, right? Like, this is kind of what he does, unless he just doesn't have the ability to do that anymore.
I mean, he definitely has the ability to do it. I would say I'm not that into the Bengals stacks. I mean, I think you can do Burrow Chase, but I'm not into like double stacking them or like really going after it, because I just kind of think this game is going to be slow. I just think both teams will kind of dink and dunk. And I just am not a T. Higgins guy. And I know there's like a sticker shock at seeing him at like 5,900 or whatever, but I'm not a T guy. I don't really think he's that good. I think he is like fancy Mike Williams, another guy who I never have liked really.
I'll play T Higgins. I'll do it. I'm not playing Joe Mixon though. I have some pride.
Yeah. I think that's fine. All right, man.
I don't think I'll stack Burrow though. I think I need to see it from this. Like, it seems like, if the market was as down on him as his play has been, I would totally buy into it, but they never are. Like, people still are willing to play him. So I think I'll play Chase for sure in this game, and I'll mix in some Higgins as bringbacks on Darnold double stacks, in which it will be him and two of McCaffrey, CMC, and Kittle.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's plant some flags. Where are we going?
For me, it'll be Brandon Ayuk, the guy in this last game. Been PFF's highest graded receiver, receiver by the ESPN tracking ratings, gets an opportunity in a back and forth script here. I think that they have to look at the second half and say one of the reasons we lost this game is because we did not find a way to force the ball into his hands. I think that coming into Sam Darnold, a guy who notoriously will lock onto his number one read no matter what, is a great spot for Brandon Ayuk. And I think he has potential to go absolutely berserk in this spot in what I hope is a fun game. There are no fun games in the NFL, but if there's going to be one, this is probably one of the better chances for it on the slate. So I'll be playing a ton of Brandon Ayuk this week.
I think that works. All right. I will do a wide receiver flag plant, Jalen Hyatt at 3,100. Look, it might not happen, but I guarantee you he will get enough air yards for you to tell yourself you made a good play, to be like, oh, dude, he got 180 air yards. Like, I was right to play him at 3,100. And I will also flag plant a $6,000 Bijan Robinson. That is going to be my every lineup play this week. I think it is, don't look a gift horse in the mouth spot. And I think the fact that Breece is $100 sure. less than him, Breece is going to straight up project for more points and cost $100 less, which I think that sort of spot really confuses both optimizers and sims, where the sims are not going to say Bijan is a super plus EV play. Obviously some EV on him, but not a ton. So Jalen Hyatt and Bijan Robinson, we are going to get out of here. I will be back with Reebs tomorrow. Good luck on this slate, everybody.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.